Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Hour number two of Sports 180 is here. Thank you for being with us. 2 hours to go. Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock. Quite a Saturday.
Not the best look for Tennessee fans. Bad look, but good thing about living in...
great.
Yeah. The best thing about living in this era, we all forget, unless you're Josh or Jimmy Himes, but yeah, all of us real humans, we forget. Well, you know, it'll just become a blip in a few years.
Oh, you mean just like memory?
Yeah.
I think I'll remember Saturday. Yeah, that's gonna be a tough one to forget.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you were there, but like people that left, people that watched on television, they will.
People that had a few.
Yeah. It'll get fuzzy.
It'll get fuzzy. There was some fog in the moment, I think. So yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Did you see where they are reviewing security cam footage? You might have some stuff coming at you if you were a thrower there.
Yep, might want to go ahead and call some representation. So there is that. We'll get to the phone lines. Want to get your reaction because the first hour on a Monday is always jam-packed for us with Heupel's press conference. Before that, we'll talk more about what happened at the end of the game. It's obviously the number one story, and it's getting so much talk. Pre-game was cool. It was great to see the atmosphere on campus. It was great to see all the fans excited for a game, for a night game. The atmosphere in the stadium at the start of it with the way everything looked and the lights and everything was great.
Awesome.
It was great. And, yeah, I think most fans who were there still probably walk away with a great experience is what they're going to take away from it, despite the end of the game and what happened. But that was really good to see because we haven't seen it in a while. We haven't seen it often for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's here and there. Like, we're picking a game. Well, a game in 2016, there were a couple that I liked in Oklahoma, and then you go back a few more years. So seeing that on Saturday was really nice because it hasn't been in Knoxville very much recently.
The stadium was incredible. The flyover, shouts to those guys. That was just so awesome with those F-15s coming over the stadium. That was cool. But yeah, all of the things that make college football special, the pomp and the circumstance, that was for sure my favorite part. Like, it was just so awesome. The stadium looked incredible. Everybody that did Checker Neyland, the new lights from Bandit, they were just, I mean, when they shut down all the lights of the stadium and you saw people's like cell phone lights on, and then you saw the almost full moon over the scoreboard, it was a cool vibe. It was really cool to be at the stadium. And so hopefully all of us will take that away. Like Josh Heupel talking about the recruits, they're going to take the 59 minutes of just an awesome environment and it'd be an absolute rowdy and maybe not make the last 1 minute, which really in real time was 25 minutes.
The last 4.5 hours, yeah.
Yeah. the takeaway from Saturday.
Yeah. We'll get your reaction here. Thank you for holding on with us as well here on Sports 180. Hope you're having a great start to the week. James, you're on Sports 180. James, good afternoon. What do you take out of this past weekend?
Hey, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Couple of comments. Brag on Coach Heupel. I have been a fan since the early 60s. I don't know when I've ever been as optimistic and excited to have a coach the way he carries himself, the way he prepares the team, and all this negativity towards him from these on again, off again fans. And plus, I want to give a shout out to Coach Randy Sanders. I'm from up Johnson City, East Tennessee State. Is 6-1. He's doing a great job. And I was in the Marine Corps for 26 years and finally retired. Give a shout out to Marble City Chiropractic because I go there once a month and they do wonders. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right.
Thank you all.
That's awesome. Thank you, James.
James with a good review. Yeah. Excellent. And shouts to Randy Sanders. I was not keeping up with him, but, you know, think of him still fondly.
Yeah, fan of Randy Sanders.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, James, we appreciate that. Thank you. Let's get Russell next on Sports 1-8. Hey, Russell, good afternoon. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Just one quick comment. Super proud of that team. They played their hearts out the whole game. I am very passionate about UT football. And I am mad enough to admit it. I have never seen a team play like that. We're getting down to the wire. To the wire. And I just got one other comment. Did anybody see Kiffin hand that line judge a popcorn bag? May have a little something stuck down in it. If you get my drift.
Yeah.
Back to much.
Well, like candy? What are we talking about?
I think he was thinking of something a little more nefarious than that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was not a good. It was not a good officiating day.
No, I didn't find their performance to be top notch.
Yeah. I think there were definite legitimate complaints. We can also, at some point in time, break down the stoppage of play by both teams with suspicious looking injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's
now with that one with official. I don't know what official is supposed to do in that one. I mean, a player goes down, it goes down.
Yeah.
So something
is there any kind of warning they can institute? Like if we think it's a pattern, like where you add subjectivity into it, or maybe you don't want to add any more subjective calls to put on officials' plates. But if you feel like this is just being done.
I'm not aware of anything in the rule book right now.
No. Yeah.
So, yeah, the last thing right now, without it being in the rules, I want to do is ask officials to now have to start figuring out if injuries are fake. So that's something that needs to get figured out. I don't know. I have no idea what the steps are. But also, I don't want to sit here and say, sometimes it's obvious. When Matt Corral went down, he was hurt. When Cade Mays went down, he was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were. But there were others where it's pretty obvious they weren't, or it's difficult to believe.
Yeah.
You know, when Javonte Spraggins, it happened on both sides. But his helmet came off, so he has to leave the game for a play. So when he's running to the sideline, Josh Heupel steps out there and tells him to go down. That's pretty obvious, right? And
yeah.
and we have Lane Kiffin, who's been on camera saying, go down, go down. So whoever's in charge of getting that figured out needs to get that figured out. But part of that is going to be coaches having to figure that out because they're on these committees.
Yeah. But them being the proponents of you know, doing it.
Yeah, but I can't sit here and I can't pull out individual plays and say, well, this play, that guy was not injured. This play, that guy was, unless it's very obvious. But it's brutal. It stops the game over and over again. And it's also kind of pathetic. We're talking about a sport, the toughest. Like, if I'm a player, I don't want to do that.
No. I don't want to just go down for a fake injury. No.
Yeah, look like a scared goat, fall into the ground. No, thanks. I don't want to do that. So, it's brutal. Game takes forever because of it.
It takes forever.
And there's no flow. It's terrible.
Yeah, it just everything becomes so segmented and just rigid, and there's no good flow or anything like that. So hopefully they can get it figured out, but it's tough to watch.
All right, I tell you what, we appreciate you holding on. We'll get more reaction to Saturday night when we come back. 656-9900 if you would like to hop on board with us on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. A lot to unpack from that game on Saturday.
A lot to unpack. Positives were the defense played better than what you probably anticipated going in. Injuries to kind of consider as Tennessee mm-hmm. gets moving forward. And then I think also a shifting of the spotlight. That was a big missed opportunity. You played a top 15 team close. So that was good. And it was a good environment.
Yeah.
We can talk about, you know, the bottle throwing and what kind of legacy that's going to put on Tennessee, or the embarrassment factor seems to continue on, even though we try to distance ourselves from
it's really just kind of an added to the list type situation.
Yeah, absolutely. But looking forward, you have a shifting of the spotlight now on that Kentucky game. And we kind of talked about this off the air, but when you're looking at trying to have a good season, there's now more emphasis on getting a win versus
record-wise,
the Wildcats.
Like 7-5 is essentially hinging on that game.
Yeah,
I'm still going to have a very difficult time believing Vanderbilt, which almost beat South Carolina. That would have been rough for the Gamecocks. But the fact that South Carolina came back down and won, that is a reminder of even if Vandy has a shot, it's going to kind of give it up. So I'm at the 99.1%. You still at 100%?
I'm at 100%. Okay. Got to win that one.
The Kentucky game in 3 weeks. Tennessee's off a week from Saturday and then goes to Lexington the week after. That'll be a big one for Tennessee. First things first, you got to get through this week against Alabama. We'll get through some phone calls here on Sports 180. Thanks for being with us today. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Let's get Blake's call. Blake, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind coming out of the weekend?
Hey, guys. Been a long time since I've called. In fact, Heather, I haven't called since you and Doc and Jeff were together. It's been that long. And I haven't heard any radio since Saturday night. This is just a side on the flopping. Wonder if they could. I mean, my idea would be you get one or two of those a quarter, and after that, it costs you 5 yards. I mean, you want to.
So a flop allowance?
huh?
A flopping allowance?
I'm sorry?
It's a flopping allowance?
Yeah, a flopping allowance. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Well, maybe just one or two a quarter. I mean, it's done by the quarter. That way, you'd have to think about it in case you did have a guy that was legitimately hurt. You would have to spend it when you really needed it, or at least you would have to think about that. Just a thought. I don't flatter myself that I can solve that. Just a thought on that. Well, guys, I've been following Tennessee football since 1951. I was 5 years old then. And I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like what happened Saturday night. And I kind of just agree with you all. I think that that's going to stay around for a while. And I tell you why. I've got family that are Alabama fans, and I've gone down there to go to a restaurant, and I'll start talking to somebody I don't know. And the minute I tell them I'm a Tennessee fan, then everything changes. We're no longer talking about football. I'm having to listen to all these things about old Philip Fulmer and what he did and everything else that were terrible fans. And I think that legacy is going to stay around. And I'm wondering, I know they were very frustrated, but that still doesn't excuse it. I'm also concerned about how that looks as far as recruitment is concerned. The guys may not matter to them, but I can't help but feel that their parents might have a view on that. So I think it's a real negative on our whole program, and I don't think it's just something that's going to be with us for a while. I think it's going to be remembered. And that's my view on that. I had some problems with what the refereeing as I saw it. But still, I just think it was a really bad thing, and I don't think I've ever seen anything quite that bad.
Yeah, Blake, thanks a lot for the call. We'll unpack a few of those things. Great to have you back on the station calling in. Appreciate that. The officiating, yeah, I didn't think it was great. Now, the spot, that call, I agree with what Josh Heupel said last hour. I think whatever they decided on the field was going to stay based on review. I never saw anything in review that told me that Jacob Warren got there. Really good play, by the way. I mean, that's a tough one to try to pick up. And he took a really good shot at it. If the ball's in his right hand, then he gets there. But in that kind of play, you're having to protect the football,
exactly,
too. So he's not in a spot where bang, 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 he can switch hands, I don't think. That's asking a lot. But
as he was going down and people are coming at him.
Yeah, he's being hit. That's
absolutely
the reason. Yeah, for sure. So he didn't really have an opportunity to extend the football. Nothing ever showed that the ball got there. So it's just, you know, that's unfortunate. The big miss to me would be the Mackerel Tyler Barron touchdown. I don't know if that really hurt Tennessee that much, because you end up getting the safety and then the touchdown with the short field because of the safety, which you don't get if you score that touchdown. So I think they messed up the play. That's my opinion on it. But I don't know how much that really affected Tennessee. It didn't cost Tennessee the game. It was too early for that to be the case. But, that officiating crew, there should be a conversation there about, you know, what's going on.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Because this is a repeat issue. This year and in the past, they were part of the Memphis-Mississippi State game.
I will say, though, with the Tyler Barron thing, and we'll never know. It's not like you can just add 7 to the final score and say, hey, we would have won.
That's
absolutely not true. Yeah, you can't do that. But there is something to momentum. And remember, Tennessee had kind of gotten off to a slow start. They weren't having much success. And there was just a huge groundswell within the stadium when he scored, you know, when he did the scoop and score. People were going nuts, and everybody kept looking around for them to signal touchdown. And then for it to come back, I don't think it was like a huge determining factor in how the game played out, but it was a change of momentum that could be felt, because then that's also where.
But was it because Tennessee then gets they get a stop and they take the lead? So in what way did they lose momentum? They were up 9-7 just a few minutes later.
Well, maybe it was just from the crowd's perspective, and that's what led to, you know, the seeming building of hostility within the crowd. Is like that was kind of the first slight, and then you felt this kind of deflation. But you're absolutely right. I mean,
I think there was a buildup to what happened at the end. I agree with that. But I don't like Tennessee to, if anything, they gained momentum after that because they're, you know, to them, they responded after that unfortunate circumstance and took the lead.
Yeah. Yeah, so it should be noted somewhere that it was definitely a negative towards the officiating crew.
Yeah.
How did it actually impact Tennessee?
I don't know that it did at all in terms of Tennessee. But yeah, the officiating crew. I don't have many positives to take away. I don't know everything that goes into the choice there, but that kind of game, that kind of environment, you need to know ahead of time. We need some people we trust in Neyland Stadium with 100,000 people with Lane Kiffin on the sideline.
At a night game, yeah.
That wasn't the crew.
Yeah,
that wasn't
the crew. They were really slow to make decisions.
Let's get Randall up next on Sports 180. Hey, Randall, thanks for calling in. Your thoughts coming out of the weekend.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
Heather, I kind of disagree with you a little bit. I think this is going to – we'll remember this game – more than we will by virtue of how it ended than how valiantly our players played. Because the ending of that ball game was just, I was embarrassed. I don't know how you felt, but I was embarrassed. And I think as bad or as horrendous as the officiating was, it's overpowered by the way the fans reacted to the bad refereeing. I mean, it was terrible. And the scoop and score, they wanted to mark it down for forward progress. The quarterback was standing still when he got hit. There was no forward progress. So I don't get it.
Yeah.
I'll hang up and I'll listen to y'all offline.
Randall, thanks. Joel said this earlier. I agree. I know others have as well. I think the fact that Matt Corral's a quarterback is probably a factor in that decision. I don't understand exactly why or how they came to it, so that's probably my best guess, that it was a quarterback.
Yeah, and they're doing everything they can to protect those guys. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Joel said if he was a running back, that probably the scoop and score would have stood. So I can't find any fault in that.
Yep. All right, we'll continue with the conversation. There's a lot to discuss out of the game. We know that, so we will invite you to do that here on this Monday afternoon. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg here as well on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Be with you until 3 o'clock. It's Bama week, Heather. Tomorrow, turn the page Tuesday. We'll get to that.
Yeah, let's save the Bama talk for another 24 hours. I'm going to need to recover after this.
The Cowboys won.
Cowboys won, man. Rolling. Yeah, that was a game that we've talked about in years previous. They would have lost. They would have found a way to lose.
I mean that.
To a bad Patriots team, and they found a way to win, so that was exciting.
Yeah, my Patriots stock is tanking.
Yeah.
I'm going to load some shares here.
Maybe Tom Brady 1, Bill Belichick 0 right now. I don't know.
You're sticking with Brady system quarterback? Being the system, I guess, makes that true. Let's get Jeff's call on Sports 180. Hey, Jeff, thank you for hanging on with us. Good afternoon. What are your thoughts coming out of Saturday?
Well, I was disappointed in the fans, the way they reacted, and I thought the referees did a poor job. But I was going to touch on about the number of injuries, you know, that obviously the flopping of the injuries. I think they should do something like you're allowed 3 or 4 injury stoppages per half. If you exceed those, then you have to start burning timeouts. If you use all your timeouts, then you can't substitute the player back in for the next play.
So you run a 10-man play.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
That could lead to some more injuries, though.
Well, I mean, it has to be something. I mean, obviously in that game, I mean, everyone knows there was a number, and even on Tennessee's side, a number of times, you know, players laid down, faked injuries. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it disrupted the flow of the game tremendously.
Yeah, it's just it's really difficult. And but, you know, part of the reason rules is to affect the way the game is played, right? Well, that's why I don't have a great solution. So, Jeff, I can't sit here and completely shut down your idea. Part of it is trying to figure out how do you police it. I know. So I wouldn't be in favor of 10-man plays. I think you need to make sure you have 11 guys out there. In terms of an allowance, maybe so. I know another,
or costing you a timeout?
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Timeout's interesting. a common suggestion is that a player has to be out a certain amount of time before he's allowed back in. So that I could get behind. I think that's probably the starting point of the conversation of seeing a guy come out and Jeff, thank you for the call. Seeing a guy come out, take so much time to get to the sideline, and then it takes 8 seconds to get back out there. That's a clear issue.
Okay, and so you kind of treat it like when your helmet comes off inadvertently, you still have to go over to the sideline for at least a play. Maybe you are on the sideline for a play or two if you have repeatedly gone down. Yeah,
yeah, maybe because it already has to be a play, maybe multiple, and then But how far do you go? I don't know. I've seen the suggestion of the whole possession. What if it's a 15-play possession? You just can't come back in, even though you had a real... Like, let's say you got hit and you have to hobble off. You know, part of it is, do you stop play? Maybe that's it. Did you actually stop play? Because a guy can get banged up, but he runs off the field and, you know, puts his hand up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you didn't stop play, why should you be penalized?
Yeah, I think it's only for the guys that are laying on the ground, writhing in pain, only to get up a couple seconds later and then continue on, where it just becomes blatantly obvious.
Yeah. Reese, you're up next on Sports 180. Reese, good afternoon. What do you think?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I just wanted to say something about injuries as well. I noticed every time we had momentum, somebody from Ole Miss would fall down on the ground and it would give them time to regroup and they would get coached up and then they would stop us. It happened, you know, quite a bit. Also, I wanted to say something about the show, the early morning show. I listen to all of your shows. 99.1 is amazing. However, the guys this morning, they called the backup quarterback, I forget his name, Milton, like stupid a couple of times. We have, as a fan base, we have to be careful that we don't continue to run people off from this program. And everybody has to realize Milton, like it or hate it, he could be the future for this program. He, with this year, he has 3 years here. So when our current quarterback is gone, if we can coach him up, this kid is a specimen with a rocket arm. So we have to be careful not to run people off from this program in the future. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Reese, thanks a lot for the call. I said last hour, my answer was I'd be getting Joe Milton ready to go this week if Hendon Hooker can't play. We don't know his status day-to-day, aren't we all? But we don't know for this week. Obviously, there's a real chance he misses the Bama game.
Yeah, and I just said it's you treat it like a next man up. If Hendon Hooker is truly out and you have a depth chart intact and it says Joe Milton is the next guy up, then you stick with that unless you're a member of the coaching staff and your confidence level is low. I mean, these guys have seen a lot more of these quarterbacks than what we have, and there's a reason why they have a legit pecking order. There's a reason why when Hendon Hooker goes out, Joe Milton comes in.
If we're having a bad segment, should we fake like, oh man, I bit my tongue, take a quick 60-second break? Can we do that? If Heather's up 2-0 on the face-off, can I do that in the middle?
Yeah. Like you took a sip of coffee, burnt my tongue. Ah!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, you once trucked through a double ear infection for like an entire week.
That's true.
It was hurting your ability to talk, literally, because talking was hurting you.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's right. You didn't see me faking to try to get out.
No one can say you did not give your all to the station that day, week.
Are you saying from a toughness standpoint, I'm comparable to an SEC football player?
Whoa.
Wow, you just took that and ran with it. Holy smokes, you're like the Flash over here.
There are very few opportunities where that could even be asked.
Okay, so Jack Lambert.
Just checking in. Let's get Sam next on Sports 180. Hey, Sam, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys, appreciate it. So basically, going back to that momentum thing, I was there Saturday, which was awesome crowd. I haven't seen it like that in forever. I usually go about 4 or 5 times in a year. But that fumble, Matt Corral, it did seem like it killed the momentum in the whole section around me because we just fumbled it, gave them 7 after a good stop, and then having that issue, then a 3-and-out after the turnover on downs, it killed the whole momentum, and I hated that. But the real reason I was calling, does anybody have a count that's watched the film of how many players faked or didn't fake the injury? And touch on what that guy just talked about. It seemed like every time we get in their territory past the 50, that's when it started happening. And I really didn't see too many offensive players for Ole Miss going down except Corral, but it just seemed like I just want to know that number, basically, if somebody's watched the film, if there is a number of how many times they actually went down on defense, and how many times was it past the 50?
Yeah, I don't. I've seen numbers. I don't know exactly what's right, Sam. It was an unusual number, whatever it's going to come out to be at the count. I don't know if anybody in the media has done that. Remember that LSU Tennessee game where I went back and counted all the fouls?
Oh, that was just wonderful. Based on an inaccurate meme that was floating around on Twitter and the message boards. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I applaud you for that.
One of the worst experiences of my life, and I'm not even being hyperbolic on that. It was a true low moment. So I'm not going to do it. But if somebody else does, we'll get the number. But either way, it was an issue, no doubt.
It was noticeable. It interrupted the flow of the game. You couldn't kind of get in a rhythm, and this was on both sides. Yeah. And we said both coaches were guilty of telling their players to go down. So you've got to stop it at some point in time because everybody's going to still continue to run the up-tempo offenses. So how do you navigate around that?
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, I don't mean to fight you on the momentum thing, because it definitely was no good, the Matt Corral thing. I have a hard time. One, it's the first quarter, so how much momentum is there to affect the game? But when Tennessee was kicking off with a 9-7 lead, was anybody in that stadium, because it was loud, was anybody thinking, boy, I wish we could get some momentum on our side? When Tennessee had the sack for the safety, I guess it was intentional grounding, I think was the call, but when Tennessee forced the safety to get it to 7-2, and then they score a touchdown in three plays.
It erupted. Yeah,
I don't think Ole Miss had the momentum at that moment.
Yeah.
So they were fine. They ended up having a long drive. So I guess you could say they took it right back with a long drive to score. But in that, momentum in the first quarter for a game that's going to take 6.5 days. I don't think it's that big of a factor. Just one thought there, Sam. We do appreciate it. We'll come back more calls in the next segment. We'll unpack everything from the SEC, Tennessee, Ole Miss, all the reaction, some football, some other stuff. Right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. Download the WNML app. You can listen to us wherever you go. You got to find times to laugh about everything too, right?
You do. I'm not going to lie. I was absolutely dreading from the rewatch Sunday morning as we, we're lucky enough to have the rest of the game actually on the tape because we did extended twice.
Mm-hmm.
Rewatching that, it was just so heartbreaking because, like, how many times did we say last week how much fun we were having? It was a pleasure to come to work every day last week. It was awesome. It was fun to talk about the game and Lane coming back and what that meant. And you could tell it meant something to him, and he admitted so.
Yeah, Matt Corral and Chris Lowe's, that's the first place I had seen it where Corral said, he kind of even hid it from us how much it meant, but we could tell. And, and he made it clear in the locker room afterward, which you're not surprised by. Also, speaking of laughing, I'm always going to give credit here. He went with the George Costanza pulling out the golf ball gif. What is that, a Titleist? I mean, that's gonna win Josh over. So that's
yeah. And then I think he threw out Spalding. He goes, no, it was just one of those yellow ones. And I think to the sideline reporter, it was funny. But I mean, he played it off well. And I hate it. I hate that he gets the last laugh. I think that's the hardest part of this. It's like, it's one thing to come in and win, but to come in and win like that, and then have all this happen, it just is. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough for all the good fans that are out there.
Saturday during the day, I had multiple Tennessee fans say to me, tonight is a chance to exorcise the demons of Kiffin. And I don't know that that's ended up. I said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's how it played out.
No, it's definitely not how it played out. I think you just kind of dug yourself into another hole that it's going to take a little while to hopefully get out of. And hopefully you're in more high stakes games like that in the future, to where that becomes like the norm environment minus the last minute. But that where everybody's juiced up and you're excited and you're hopefully winning those games too at some point.
Also, very good argument to be made that marine biologist episode is the greatest in Seinfeld history. Just tossing that aside. Let's get Ryan's call at Sports 180. Hey, Ryan, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today? Ryan, you there? Might have a phone issue here tapping.
Yeah, I hear something tapping.
Ryan, we'll put you on hold. We'll check on that phone connection. Sorry there. John, you're up next on Sports 180. Hey, John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Hey, doing great. Hope you are.
Good. Hey, I'm not in disagreement with all the calls about the flopping and what to do about it, whether you take them out for a series or whatever. But what's the process of changing the rule? Who does that? and how long does it take?
In terms of the time.
So say a group of people got into a room and said, yeah, we need to change this thing.
Yeah.
Who does that and how long does it take?
Yeah, John, thank you. Good question. In terms of a timeline of when everything happens, I don't know. That could be a good question later today on Sports Talk. But you have rules committee, coaches with officials making suggestions, is my understanding. And then
it has to get voted on.
Changes
correct?
Are presented and all that stuff. So this is it's just a complicated one. I don't think it's easy to figure out.
It is complicated because don't forget what you would then be asking officials to do is another subjective call. It's to use their context to make a call on somebody. And do we really want to put that power in officials' hands? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think you just try to deter maybe in off-season meetings or something, or maybe can you send out conference warnings like, hey, guys, we just noticed this was not appropriate. Like, you guys need to clean it up. Yeah. And maybe there could be conference sanctions within the coaching staff or something. I don't know. But
one thing that I would think would be easy is if an official sees a coach telling a player who has expressed no issue with his health to go down, that's something that they need to get rid of immediately. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Kiffin's been caught doing it. Josh Heupel did it on Saturday. Other coaches have done it. If an official sees a coach telling a player who's expressed no health issue to go down and pretend to be injured, that should be penalized.
So should they have a red card out there where they can just, boom, pull out a red card and it costs you a timeout or something?
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, that's a delay of game.
Yeah.
Very literally. So that's something that needs to be adjusted or fixed as soon as possible. Randy, you're up next on Sports 180. Hey, Randy, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. When we scored the touchdown right after the safety and went up 8-7, I hadn't heard it mentioned. I listened to the press conference today, and none of the reporters brought it up. But I wondered, I thought it was we would go for two. And I just wondered that would make it a full possession game maybe later on in the ball game. But I hadn't heard anything mentioned about it, so I just wanted you guys' take on that.
Yeah, Randy, thanks for the call. I think at that point you're just accumulating points, so take the point. It's way too early. You're expecting a lot more points to be scored, which not as many as expected maybe, but plenty were still scored, so I don't think you need the two there. Just get your point.
It was something that came up with people like, oh, why didn't they go for two there? Like he said, to make it a full possession. But
yeah, trying to score as
like
many
points. Like you said,
points,
it was early.
So, yeah, whether you're up by two or three doesn't make a difference in the first quarter.
Yeah, maybe you're not paying as close attention to that chart as what you do in the third and fourth quarters.
Yeah, Randy, we appreciate it. All right, I tell you what, we'll make sure we get out on time here. We have a busy final hour coming up. More of your reaction. Everything from the weekend. So much happened in sports, but obviously Tennessee, Ole Miss, a big factor here. So we will get to that. We'll continue talking football on the field, catch you up on what Josh Heupel said about some injured players, where things stand with them, including quarterback Hendon Hooker, a look around the SEC. Ed Orgeron's going to be moving on at LSU. We kind of expected it. I don't know many people expected that news coming out of
a winning weekend
against Florida. By the way, we're getting word that Florida just threw another interception against LSU. It just happened. Yep.
Man.
So they're going to actually change quarterbacks again too. So we'll come back. We'll get to all of that here on Sports 180. 656-9900 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, we will get to Tennessee Ole Miss. We'll have a pop-up fact. Some history is made in the NFL. We'll tell you about that coming up in the next hour, plus our look around the SEC with Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to Sports 180 on 99.1 The Sports Animal.